This is part two of a two-part series. After it was painfully clear that the threat of chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, the U.S. President, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, intelligence communities, and military authorities had ranted about was non-existent, the focus of the war publicly shifted to humanitarianism, even though Baghdad had been taken and Saddam had already been captured. There were also allegations that Iraq had ties to Al-Qaeda, the group who attacked the Twin Towers in 2001. These allegations were also not true. Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary in 2003, explained that the Iraq war was, quote, in effect, made by the intersection of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks and existing information, not by any dramatic new evidence, end quote. On September 4, 2002, it was reported that, quote, barely 5 hours after American Airlines Flight 77 plowed into the Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense was telling his aides to start thinking about striking Iraq, even though there was no evidence linking Saddam Hussein to the attacks, end quote. In October 2002, President Bush told a VFW hall in Cincinnati, quote, we know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas. The regime is rebuilding facilities that it had used to produce chemical and biological weapons, end quote. This was a known lie, and the direct contradiction to it that the president had access to was a memo shared with the Joint Chiefs of Staff by Donald Rumsfeld a month earlier, reading that U.S. intelligence cannot, quote, confirm the identity of any Iraqi sites that produce, fill, or store biological weapons, end quote. Also in October, a month after that same report was released, confirming that no chemical or biological weapons could be found, later proved correct by in-country inspections, a 92-page National Intelligence Estimate report incorrectly stated that, quote, Iraq has continued its weapons of mass destruction programs. Baghdad has chemical and biological weapons, as well as missiles. If left unchecked, it probably will have a nuclear weapon within this decade, end quote. Clearly incorrect and contrary to the intelligence memo published a month earlier. A Pentagon aide's notes quote Rumsfeld asking for, quote, best info fast. Judge whether good enough to hit Saddam Hussein at the same time, not only Osama bin Laden. Go massive. Sweep it all up. Things related and not. End quote. In March 2003, General Wesley Clark, former Supreme NATO Allied Commander in Europe and Commander-in-Chief of the United States Southern Command, stated in an interview that, quote, subsequent to 9/11, there was a decision then made. Let's go attack Iraq. They apparently moved in their own private counsel and said simply, we've got to have regime change in Baghdad. I don't think the president built the case and developed the coalition. I've always been concerned that there wasn't evidence to justify the urgency to justify moving against Saddam Hussein right now, rather than presenting the international community with a problem and asking its assistance in helping to resolve it, the United States government effectively presented the solution and asked for countries to agree with its views, and too many didn't. End quote. Later, in June 2003, General Clark told a reporter that there was a, quote, concentrated effort during the fall of 2001 to pin 9/11 and the terrorism problem on Saddam Hussein. It came from the White House. I got a call on 9/11 saying, you got to say this is connected. This is state-sponsored terrorism. This has to be connected to Saddam Hussein. I said, but I'm willing to say it, but what's your evidence? And I never got any evidence. End quote. Despite multiple sources reporting that politicians and the military were preparing for war against Iraq without any justification for the preparation months and years before the 2003 invasion, the stories were not shared with the public. While inaccurate, incorrect, or entirely fabricated stories about Iraqi military potential were widely disseminated by almost all media outlets, military officials, and politicians. For years, news reports, intelligence memos, and inspections results that showed Iraq did not have WMDs and was not a contemporary threat to other countries existed in the public domain, but were not reported on, while stories that incorrectly portrayed Iraq as a threat were reported widely, which suggests a very unlikely incompetence due to the years-long pattern of topically inaccurate reporting and indicates a willful ignorance and disinclination by the media, military, intelligence, and politicians to report the objective truth. This one-sided storytelling happened before, in the same place. In 1991, England helped fuel the fires for the first Iraq War. The British government has admitted that MI6 had organized Operation Mass Appeal, a campaign to disseminate stories about Iraqi WMDs in the British media. 10 years later, the exact same type of misinformation campaign was being run by the country about the same targets. Jack Straw, the British Foreign Secretary, said that the problem with the claims Bush and Blair were making about Iraq was, quote, "the lack of corroborative evidence to back up the claims. Much of the intelligence were assumptions and assessments not supported by hard facts or other sources," end quote. Former CIA Director Stansfield Turner accused the Bush administration of, quote, "overstretching the facts about Iraqi WMDs. There is no question in my mind they distorted the situation," end quote. Speaking of equipment to create WMDs or a workforce to assemble them, Robin Cook, the UK House of Commons leader who resigned over the legally unjustified decision to invade Iraq given the lack of evidence, said, quote, "we used intelligence as the basis on which to justify a policy on which we had already settled," end quote. His resignation hinged on the hypocrisy of intelligence agencies. Cook summarized that, with Iraq's military strength less than half of what it was in the late 80s, quote, "it is only because Iraq's military forces are so weak we can even contemplate invasion. We cannot base a military strategy on the assumption that Saddam is weak and at the same time justify preemptive action on the claim that he is a threat," end quote. Scott Ritter, who led 14 inspection missions in Iraq, says that senior MI6 officials had discussed, in front of him, ways they could manipulate intelligence material. Quote, "the aim was to convince the public that Iraq was a far greater threat than it actually was," end quote. Ritter also spoke on the stories of Iraqi weapons programs pushed by the U.S. and the U.K. Quote, "stories ran in the media about secret underground facilities in Iraq and ongoing programs. They were sourced to Western intelligence, and all of them were garbage," end quote. This is supported by a report forwarded by Donald Rumsfeld 6 months before invading Iraq that stated, quote, "our knowledge of the Iraqi nuclear weapons program is based largely, perhaps 90%, on analysis of imprecise intelligence. Our knowledge of how and where they are produced is probably up to 90% incomplete. The specific agent and facility knowledge is 60 to 70% incomplete. Our knowledge, significantly lacking, less than 25% for staging and storing sites," end quote. Tony Blair, the 10-year Prime Minister of the UK, made it clear that no decision had been made on the invasion of Iraq until just days before operations began. Sir Christopher Meyer, British ambassador to the US, was at dinner months before that with George W. Bush and Tony Blair, just 9 days after 9/11, and heard Bush tell Blair, quote, "When we have dealt with Afghanistan, we must come back to Iraq," end quote. In August 2006, Bush explicitly stated at a press conference that, quote, "The lesson of September the 11th is, take threats before they fully materialize," end quote. And that is what the Bush administration did. Despite Iraq not being connected with 9/11 or al-Qaeda, all inspections concluding that Iraq did not have WMD programs or nuclear programs or a scientific workforce, despite much of the intelligence detailing Iraqi threats being of moderate or low quality, many as low as 10% accurate, all this evidence collected and analyzed far before the March 2003 invasion date, that toothless threat was taken. And so went 20 years, $2 trillion, thousands of American soldiers' lives, and at least tens of thousands of Iraqi civilian lives. These events make up the inaccurate and unjust actual body of what Colin Powell called the web of lies projected by politicians, the military, and the media onto Iraq. Powell was referring to what turned out to be truthful and correct statements by the Iraqis and many international inspection teams about the lack of Iraqi WMD programs and infrastructures. A web of lies much more accurately describes the deliberately dishonest attacks by the US and UK authorities against common and professional evidence, opinion, and knowledge in an effort to mislead and terrify citizens around the world. That web of lies was then used, after invading Iraq despite having no reason to do so and acting against a UN resolution, to justify the excessive human cost of an easily avoidable, shameful, and unnecessary military fiasco.